Good morning, friends, and welcome to the Gospel of Grace broadcast. We are thankful to have the opportunity to bring to you, after 30 years of broadcasting, the reassuring message of God's free and sovereign grace. This broadcast is sponsored by the McClenny Primitive Baptist Church. You can receive additional information about this ministry and the doctrines of grace at www.mcclennypbc.com or by calling 904-259-7806. Pray as we go forward together this morning into God's Word. Please stay tuned for another message of God's free and sovereign grace.
Good morning, friends, and welcome to the Gospel of Grace broadcast. It's a sweet privilege to be with you today. As we begin our broadcast, I want to ask that you pray for us and that the Lord would strengthen us as we attempt to share with you the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But we pray that you'll beseech the Lord on our behalf in a special way as we have a cold, and we hope that certainly that does not hinder our ability to minister God's word to you and your family. The world we're living in today, of course, for those of you who are plugged in, unless I guess you've been like Rip Van Winkle, you've been asleep for the past several years, our world is experiencing great upheaval and turmoil. Nationally, there is as little peace among us as I have observed in the course of my life, with the exception of maybe a period of time in the late 60s and early 70s. There's just a great spirit of upheaval and a lack of peace. And so we're thankful for the Word of God that gives us the opportunity to refresh our truths, ourselves in great truths for the child of God like this. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. His name shall be called the Prince of Peace. That is my subject, and that's my text. His name shall be called the Prince of Peace. Let me ask you, what would you give for peace? I mean, real, lasting, substantial peace. Peace in your heart, peace in the world, peace at home. What does peace mean to you? Matthew Henry, the great Baptist writer of several hundred years ago, said, "Peace is such a precious jewel that I would give anything for it but truth." And this morning, I want to talk with you, if the Spirit of the Lord will speak by me to your heart, talk to you about what peace is and what it can mean to you and I as born-again children of God. Only Christ, the Prince of Peace, can give peace to our poor, troubled souls. In our text, Isaiah, the prophet of God, is describing the glorious person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, God's Messiah, our Savior. He proclaims our Redeemer's incarnation, his exaltation, and his character as the mediator, the go-between us and God. And here is Isaiah's description of Christ coming into this world. He said, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." Here the prophet's declaration of our Savior's exaltation now, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. And this is Isaiah's proclamation of his character as our mediator, that is, our go-between, between us and God. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And all that Christ has done, and everything that he's done as our mediator, That is someone who goes between two offended parties. And Christ goes between us and God as our Savior and our Mediator. And all that He has done, whether it was in planning or executing the work of redemption, He has sought and secured the peace and the eternal welfare of God's elect family. It was to purchase our peace that He became incarnate and died upon the cross. It was to bestow peace upon us that He went back to heaven and reigns today in universal dominion as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And He undertook the management of providence on our behalf. Peace is the legacy that He has left to His family when He departed from this world. Upon His ascension back into heaven, He poured out His Spirit, the Spirit of peace, upon His people. And as a symbol of that, He blew His breath upon the apostles and told them to enjoy the benefit, the blessing of the manifest presence of the Spirit of peace. And to this very hour, in your life and my life, the Son of God, our Savior, the Prince of Peace, is dispensing peace according to His own sovereign will to His children as it pleases Him. And He's giving it to them in great abundance to all of the subjects of His kingdom. He is no spiritual miser whenever it comes to dispensing the blessing of His peace. And why would we put our affections or seek as paramount anything else in our life primarily other than the peace of God that passes all understandings, and do those things in our life which help us and assist us to enjoy this great peace that Christ has purchased for us by the sacrifice of Himself at Calvary? His name shall be called the Prince of Peace. Now, first of all, I want you to recognize that Jesus Christ is called here a prince. Ezekiel chapter 34. Ezekiel chapter 34, verses 23 and 24. The Lord says, speaking of His people, I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, even my servant David. And David is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ here. He shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David, a prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken it. David, remember, is a great picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's a representation of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. And then in chapter 37, verse 24, the Lord says, again, in the book of Ezekiel, and my servant shall be king over them, and they all shall have one shepherd, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord is our shepherd. And they shall also walk in my judgments and observe my statutes to do them. And they shall dwell in the land that I have given unto Jacob my servant, wherein your fathers have dwelt. And they shall dwell therein, even they and their children, and their children's children forever. And my servant shall be their prince forever. The Lord Jesus Christ is called a prince. So what is this prince going to do? What is the Lord Jesus Christ going to do as our prince? Daniel chapter 9, verses 24 and 5 tells us what the Prince of Peace will do. Daniel says, and I wish we had time today to go into Daniel chapter 9, the 70 weeks of Daniel. We will, God willing, someday. But in verse 24 of Daniel chapter 9, the Lord says, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity. This symbolic period of 70 weeks, at the end of that, the Lord says through Daniel, I'm going to finish the transgression of my people. I'm going to make an end of their sins. Now, at the end of this symbolic 70 weeks, the Lord Jesus Christ is coming. And he says he'll finish the transgression. He'll make an end of sins and reconciliation for iniquity and bring in everlasting righteousness to seal up the vision and the prophecy and to anoint the most holy. And so what he's saying is that when the Lord Jesus Christ comes at a determined time, when he comes into this world in a body of flesh, he'll finish the transgressions of his people, make an end of their sins, make reconciliation for iniquity, bring in everlasting righteousness, and anoint the most holy. He said, now therefore, know and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and rebuild Jerusalem, the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again, the wall, even tribulous times. So he's prophesying that a prince will come at a specific time. The Lord Jesus Christ came at a specific time. Paul says in Galatians 3, it was in the fullness of time God sent forth his son. And Daniel said that when the prince comes, the Messiah, who shall be the prince, that's his title, the Prince of Peace is going to make reconciliation, bring in everlasting righteousness, anoint the holy. He's going to save us, in other words. That's what the Prince of Peace is going to do. But he's a prince. The word prince simply implies that Christ, at the time of his birth in this world, was a rightful legal heir to the throne upon which he now sits. It might properly be translated king. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace. He's the Lord of Peace. He is the King of Peace. He's called the Lord of Peace in 2 Thessalonians 3:16. He's the King of Priests, the King of Peace in Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 2. He's the King of Salem, he's mentioned over there, which the word Salem means peace. He's the Prince of Peace, the Lord of Peace, the King of Peace. But we will stay with the translation here that's given in our English Bibles. Christ is called the Prince. He's the Prince by birth because he is the King's Son. That's how you become a birth, how you become a prince. When you're born into this world to a king, you're born a prince. You don't become a prince, you're born one. And our Lord Jesus Christ was born a prince. Paul says in Romans chapter 1, Paul, an apostle of Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. Listen to this. Concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who was made of the seed of David according to flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power. Remember I told you, David is a representative of the Lord Jesus Christ. David was a king, set on the throne of Israel. And it was prophesied that Jesus Christ would come and sit on that throne as a rightful ruler and king. And so he is here, Paul said. He was made of the seed of David, according to the flesh. He's got the right to sit on the throne. He's a king. He's declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. As the lawful, legal, rightful Son of David, according to the flesh, Mary comes from that bloodline. Christ is the lawful heir to the throne of David, the Messiah of Israel. And as the Son of God, he's the lawful heir to the throne of God in heaven, the throne of the universal dominion. He's God over all, blessed forever. What a glorious thought. And so we should never lose sight that the Son of God that comes into this world, he's not just a man, he's also Prince. He is the Son of the King. The Lord Jesus Christ, he's a prince by birth, but he's a prince by virtue of his office. His office, obedience as our mediator. Listen, Philippians 2, 5 through 11, that glorious passage tells us as God, Christ has always been the prince and the governor of the universe. But as the God-man, as our mediator, fulfilling the will of God, Paul tells us that God has, because he took our sins in his body and died, even the death of the cross, Paul tells us that God has given him a name above every other name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow and every tongue should confess. And so as our, because of his obedience as our Savior and our mediator, he is made Prince as well. That glorious passage in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11, I would encourage you to read it. And Paul tells us that when Christ had by himself purged our sins, in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, when Christ had by himself purged our sins, God raises him and seats him at his own right hand, the place where a prince would sit next to the King of heaven. The prince sits there, the Lord Jesus Christ, on the right hand of the majesty on high. Jesus Christ, our divine Savior, as a prince, prince by birth, he's a prince by his covenant obedience. Now he is a prince with absolute universal power and authority right now. God Almighty, the triune Jehovah God, has put the universe under the absolute dominion of that man who loved us and gave himself for us. He is a prince and he's ruling as such. Revelation 1:5 says that he's the prince of the kings of the earth. That means that he is over all of the kings of the earth. He rules them sovereignly. He's the sovereign prince, that he might be the savior of God's elect. That's what Peter says in Acts chapter 5, in verse 31. Peter says, him, that is Jesus Christ, hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel, his people, the forgiveness of sins. And so as a prince, he's the sovereign monarch of this universe. God the Father gave his Son the reins of this universe before the world began as our mediator, as our go-between. He gave him those reins to openly die for our sins, satisfy the justice of God, and then he gives him those reins manifestly in his ascension to the throne in his resurrection. And so we see him clearly established when he had by himself purged our sins. He sits down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Paul says in Romans 8, who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's Christ that died, yea, rather who's risen again, who's at the right hand of God. He's seated at the right hand of God. He has ascended, and he has been legally, lawfully seated. When he went back into heaven, he was at the right hand of God. He was seated, placed there at the right hand of God's power as the prince of the universe. You understand this first point? Christ is a prince. Be sure you understand this. if you fail to realize the total sovereignty of Christ as your mediator, as your go-between, as your Savior, you will never grasp the blessed peace of His rule. And in order for you to have peace today, you see, we look out in this world and we see upheaval and it looks like it's out of control. What we have to remember is that Christ is the Prince of Peace. It's not just that He has peace, but He rules in peace. There's no upheaval with Him. I want to show you that this great Prince, the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the Prince of Peace. He is not just a prince, He's not just a ruler, but He's the ruler of peace. There is peace today. There's peace in heaven. Christ is the Prince of Peace, and as His child, you should have peace in your heart. I worry like you do, but it's because my eyes are not fixed on the fact that Christ is the Prince of Peace. That's when I worry. But when I can see Him for who He is as the Prince of Peace, worry goes away. Everything connected to Him as the Prince and King shows that He's the Prince of Peace. His kingdom lies in peace and in joy in the Holy Ghost. That's what the Word of God says. The scepter of His kingdom is the golden scepter of mercy and grace. His throne is a throne of grace. His royal proclamation is the gospel of peace. The fruit of His Spirit is love, joy, and what? Peace. The subject of His kingdom are what? Blessed are the peacemakers, for theirs is the kingdom of God. He is the Prince of Peace, and He has peace for us because as the Prince of Peace, it's His sovereign prerogative to speak peace to His people. And there is no peace in this world but that which He bestows. Washington will not ultimately give us peace. I'm thankful when we do have peace as a nation. But Jesus said, as long as this world exists, there's going to be wars and rumors of this world, wars and rumors of wars. In this world, He says in John 16, you shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. He said, these words have I spoken unto you, that you might have peace and that my joy might remain in you. He wants us to have peace. Christ alone is the Prince of Peace. And those who see Him for who He is, the Prince and the Prince of Peace, Paul said in Philippians 4:7, will have a peace that this world knows nothing all about, will have a peace which Paul said passeth all understanding. Listen to this glorious verse from Zechariah. Speaking of the Savior, he said, even He shall build the temple of the Lord. That's what He did as our Savior. He built the temple of the Lord. And He shall bear the glory and shall sit and rule upon the throne. And He shall be a priest upon His throne. And the council of peace shall be between them both. What is he saying? That between God and His people, there's a council of peace because of our high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, seated upon His throne. Hallelujah, what a Savior. So, how has He become the Prince of Peace? He made peace for us through His cross. Paul says that this is our witness that God was in Christ, reconciling us unto Himself. And He's committed unto us the word of reconciliation. How did He reconcile us? He tells us in verse 21 of 2 Corinthians 5, for He's made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin. He made peace between us and God. Because He took our sins on us. God made Him to be our sin for us. He didn't have any sin of His own. He said He made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin. But He took our sins in Him that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. And that brought peace between us and God. And that's why Paul says in Romans chapter 5, he is our peace. He is our peace, by whom also we've received the atonement. Isn't that amazing? He speaks peace to the troubled hearts of all of his people in the power of regeneration, in the renewing of the Holy Ghost. Paul said, now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off or made nigh by the blood of Christ, our sins had put us far off from God, but now we're made nigh by the blood of Christ. Paul says in verse 14 of Ephesians 2, for he that is Christ is our peace, who've made both one. That is, all God's people have been made one. And God's broken down the middle wall of partition between us by the shed blood of himself. In verse 17, Paul said he came and preached peace to you that were far off and to them that were nigh. Thank God. Through his shed blood and his imputed righteousness, we have peace. And where is this peace? Where do we find peace? Through Christ, it's in you. Christ is in you, the hope of glory. It's in the church. There's peace in the church. And it can be in your precious home today, as Christ is the Lord of your home. Christ is ruling everything for our good today. Christ is overruling all things for the good of his people. He has slain the enmity between you and God. He's taken care of our sin debt. He has destroyed him that had the power of death, which is the devil. He's brought peace to our hearts. He's given us a kingdom of peace, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. May you walk in peace this week, knowing these glorious truths, that he is the Prince of Peace. May the Lord bless you all, is my prayer for Christ's sake.
As we bid you farewell today, please remember to tune in next week to this channel at the same time for the Gospel of Grace broadcast. This broadcast is sponsored by the McClenny Primitive Baptist Church. You can receive additional information about this ministry and the doctrines of grace at www.mcclennypbc.com or by calling 904-259-7806. Please pray for us. And until next week, may the Lord richly bless you all is our prayer.